Well, good morning, everyone. This is Bob Elson, and we're set as usual with our Sunday morning show here in the lobby of Northwest Federal at our very convenient and great new Loop location at 72 East Randolph. Stop in anytime and get acquainted. You know the slogan down here is, this location is the end of Loop Banker's Hours. No more of that 9-to-3 routine. Our very convenient office here is open practically all day long. So do stop in at your convenience. Well, as you know, we're all looking forward to the two big pro games today. The big game, Oakland and Denver. In that game, Oakland has been installed a 3-point favorite. And in the other game, Minnesota at Dallas, they're an 11-point favorite over Minnesota. I think the Dallas has really just got too much for Minnesota. In the Oakland-Denver game, Oakland brings a great amount of experience into this game. Denver's had an amazing year, there's no doubt about that, and they're an outstanding team, and they're very, very well coached. But when you have a quarterback like Stabler and three great receivers like Branch and Biletnikoff and Casper running all around the field, and Stabler is a deadly passer, I just think that in this particular game that Oakland is going to be the winner. However, it should be a great afternoon of football if that is your favorite sport. And then, of course, tomorrow is the big one. Is Texas number one in the nation? Well, Notre Dame is going to try to find out. So that should be also an outstanding game. And, of course, there are other big games on. For example, Alabama and Ohio State. That should be another terrific game. So there's a lot of football all weekend to enjoy today and on Monday, which is also a holiday. So good luck to your favorite team. Our guest today is going to be one of Chicago's outstanding sports writers and an old friend, Bob Verdi of the Chicago Tribune, one of the nation's great newspapers. We have many things to talk about because he's currently covering the hockey scene. He's also covered baseball for a number of years, as I have. So we have a lot of things to talk about, and he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you whenever you're ready. So Northwest Federal's open 63 hours a week. Now, if you work evenings, you can come to Northwest Federal 6 full days. Northwest Federal's open Monday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. And if the only time you can get to Northwest Federal is 8 o'clock in the morning, well, that's okay, too. A lot of people would like to stop in before they go to work. Northwest Federal has early bird service every morning for your convenience. From 8 o'clock, you'll find 6 convenient Northwest Federal savings centers throughout Chicagoland, including here, our wonderful new location in the Loop at 72 East Randolph. Come into Northwest Federal Savings on your way to, from, or between work, shopping, or home. Come in anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. Our guest today is an old friend, Bob Verdi, who covers the sports scene for the Chicago Tribune and does an excellent job, and he's currently now all wrapped up in hockey because this is the hockey season. What about the measure of improvement this year, Bob, of the Blackhawks? They brought in a well-known figure from the West Coast who did a good job out there with the Kings, Bob Pulford. What about? Have they improved to the extent that you thought they might under his direction?
I think they have, Bob. The main change that Pulford has implemented in a remarkably short time is he's changed the club's personality. Now, you know, and the hockey fans of Chicago know that the last few years the Blackhawks would go into other rinks and just be bodied right out of the building. Now they're a lot more aggressive, they're a lot more inclined to take punishment and dish it out, and to make this change in personality in less than half a season I think is very encouraging. They are, as far as points in the standings go, they're ahead of last year. And I think as far as personality goes, they're well ahead of last year. I think that also that they're going to be better in the second half than they were in the first half.
Has the development of Visor helped in the Nets?
I think so. He played a game the other night that was just outstanding against the Leafs. He beat them here 4-0 and was excellent. I think that now Bob Pulford can give Esposito a rest and still feel confident in his backup goalkeeper. I'm not so sure that previous coaches here felt that way. Esposito was always the Iron Man, but perhaps if Esposito plays 50 games a year instead of 60 or 65, that'll prolong his career.
Bob, what are the hockey people doing to get a measure of balance in the hockey league?
Well, they had a draft this year, Bob, the so-called equalization draft, but it really amounted to nothing. I think that all signs point to some sort of consolidation through attrition. Some of the clubs in the WHA just can't last. Some of the clubs in the NHL can't last. And at one point in the near future, I think you'll see one league of, say, 20 teams.
You know, today, with the outlay of tremendous amounts of money for athletes, looking back, if the Blackhawks had a chance to change that image, do you think that Bobby Hull would have ever gotten away?
I think that the Blackhawks made a serious mistake in letting him go. I think they know it. They, at the time, said they did not want to sign Hull for X amount of dollars because it would throw their payroll out of whack. So they let him go to the WHA, and what happened? It threw their payroll out of whack and threw everybody's payroll out of whack.
It threw the club out of whack.
Well, exactly. So I think that they realized they made a mistake. Letting him go allowed the WHA a touchstone. Allowed it credibility right away. And, of course, it started a mass influx of players over there. I don't think that Hull would mind coming back either. You know, it's a two-way street. I think that he probably thinks maybe he made a mistake, that there was really only one arena for his great talents, and that is the National League.
Bob, you probably noticed, as I have, being also a great hockey fan, that the addition of some outstanding Swedish players into the National Hockey League must be a big game over there, and I'm wondering what Bobby Orr, who is on the staff of the Chicago Blackhawks and sort of a number of roles, too bad he can't still be a player, what do you think he was looking for in Russia?
The Blackhawks own a player named Gradin, who played with the Swedish club in the Izvestia tournament, and that was, I believe that was Orr's primary purpose in going over there. There are a lot of good Swedes, you're exactly right, and there are two with Winnipeg right now that the Blackhawks are interested in, Nilsson and Hedberg. There might be a bidding war for them at the end of the year. A lot of National League clubs are interested in them.
Are there any restrictions on foreign players? For example, let's take something in a somewhat similar situation. People wonder why there are not a few outstanding Japanese players in the big league in baseball, but that's a situation that it is impossible to bring those players over here.
Yeah, I think that there's naturally the nationalistic feeling of trying to keep the players in the home country, but of course the almighty dollar talks, and I think that if the restrictions weren't so difficult, you'd see some Russian and Czech players here over in the States too. Of course, that you're talking there not only about a difference in ideology, but a difference in just the machinations of trying to get them over here.
Bob, you're so close to hockey. A lot of people wonder why they have the playoff system they have, where four clubs in each division get into the playoffs, and the team that really had really not too good a record could wind up as a Stanley Cup champion. That is, if they figure some way to get around to Montreal. That's got to be one of the great teams of all time, isn't it?
It is, and they'll be, no matter what system, as you say, no matter what system they devise, they would have to be the favorite this year. Again, the National Hockey League has adjusted the playoff formula a little bit this year. They have a wild card system. The top three clubs in each division will not necessarily make the playoffs as last year. Now it's the top two, and you'll have wild card selections. So you won't have the situation of a club that might finish last in a strong division with a better record than a third-place club in another division, that last-place club will not necessarily miss out now.
Is there anything in the hockey rules in the so-called draft to prevent, say, a powerhouse like the Montreal Canadiens getting even stronger?
Well, of course, there's been a lot of discussion in the last few years, Bob, about reducing the number of players that each club can protect at the end of each year. Reducing it to 10 players, and the rest would be free to go or free to be drafted by other clubs. I still think that the Canadiens would wind up with the best 10, you know.
Yeah.
But that has been one idea of maybe knocking the Canadiens down a little. But, you know, things go in cycles. A few years ago, the Flyers looked like they had the hockey world knocked and that they were going to be on top for years. And then
the Bully Boys.
Yeah, and then they went into the finals against the Canadiens, and the Canadiens took 4 straight. And ever since then, it's been the Canadiens. But this year, the Canadiens have been a little more human than the past. They've lost 7 games already. Last year, they only lost 8 all last year. So maybe, you know, who's to say that in another year, maybe the Islanders won't be the top club, or the Bruins or something. Maybe in 3-4 years, the Blackhawks.
The Canadiens are marvelous to watch with their tremendous speed and their great defense. Their defensemen are fantastic. And guys like Guy Lafleur and Schutt and the rest of them, everybody in the club can score.
But the secret ingredient there is they play great defensive game. They're very, you know, none of their forwards is allowed to float because Scotty Bowman, the coach, won't stand for it. They really are a very well organized team, disciplined team, and you mentioned three key players, the defensemen.
Yes. Just for the benefit of our listeners who don't exactly know what you mean by float with a forward, what do you mean?
Well,
I know what you mean.
Yeah, you know, you can't have a guy just playing a one-way game. He's got to come back and check his man to some degree. And you look at some of the great offensive players on the Canadiens, but still they keep they exercise good housekeeping in their end.
Would you like to see sudden death installed during the season?
Not really, no. I think that, you know, there are so many sides to the story, Bob. You know, is it good for the fans to pay $12 to see a no decision? Well, I think that some of your most entertaining games could be a 1-1 game, a 0-0 game, a 6-6 game. So I think, to say that the fans to be rewarded have to have an outcome, that's not necessarily correct. They can have a tie game that'll be thoroughly entertaining.
Why is it that the football or the baseball people don't share that point of view?
Well, of course, football did to a little while, till recently, and baseball, as you all know, we've sat through a lot of extra inning games.
Why I'll say we have.
Maybe the reason I don't want the overtime is just that. I'm selfish. I know that it's going to be 3 periods and that's it.
That's it.
But I think that, you know, there are an awful lot of sides to the story, Bob, and at one time in the near future, the NHL just might go to the tiebreaker or whatever.
Our guest today is Bob Verde, outstanding sports writer with the Chicago Tribune, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Back to our guest, an old friend, Bob Verde. He and I have been on the sports trail together for a long, long time. My only regret was that he wasn't a gin rummy player.
I don't regret it. I've heard too much about you.
You know, we are in hockey, and football now is coming to the end of a long season, and seems like all the seasons overlap. But pretty soon, one of your favorite games, one of my favorite games, baseball, will soon be with us. And you'll be covering which team first?
Well, the plans are for me to do White Sox and then Cubs.
So you spend a half a season with each one.
Yeah, although I think we're going to, the paper is going to change around a little bit this year, and I think Cuparello is going to do a lot of baseball. And yeah, we're going to have a more of a rotating system, a platoon system. But I we'll all do a lot of baseball because there's a lot of baseball to be done.
I called George Langford, the sports editor, on Christmas Day to say hello and wish him, and I told him what a really great sports section they had that day. Just absolutely outstanding.
Well, I think he's part of the reason. He was an outstanding writer, and still is, or still could be, but now he's turned his talents inside, and he's a fine person to work for, and I think he's made a lot of great changes in the section. I think Cuparello did an outstanding job when he was sports editor, and now he's gone to full-time writing. So, you know, I take a lot of pride in the Tribune section. I think it's one of the best in the country.
It certainly is. I'll like to emphasize that. Taking a look at baseball now, some subjects have been kicked around so much about how do you suppose, with the interest you have in baseball, and you've talked to a lot of people, how do you suppose the owners, most of them successful businessmen, have ever got themselves moved into a corner where the players are running the game and they're working for the players? How did this ever happen?
You know, that is an excellent question, Bob, and there is no answer because here are men who are worth millions, and really some of the business decisions they seem to be making are just incredible. And the only analogy I can draw is to go back to hockey for just a minute. You know, hockey had its boom period. The salaries doubled, tripled in the space of such little time. And with the proliferation of teams and the new league and all. And now the gravy train has stalled and everybody's sort of pulling in their horns and clubs are talking about cutting salaries and leagues are talking about cutting teams. And I think some of the hockey owners are saying the same thing. How did we ever get into this, you know? And let's get out. And sooner or later, the baseball people have to do that too. I think that the percent of each team's income that is spent on payroll is approaching the danger point. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go signing pitchers who have records of 6-12 to $400,000 a year contracts, well, that's a death wish.
They say, well, you can't stipulate, you can't put a limit on salaries. That's a violation of the antitrust laws and all that sort of thing. But it seems like the players and the player organization, I like to see everybody make whatever he can make. But some of these salaries is just border on financial insanity.
The other thing I think that's really harmful in the free agent situation, Bob, is the aspect of loyalty to a ball club. I'm talking about more fans now than ball players. You know, baseball is the greatest game in the world for continuity. Game every day, statistics change every day. You talk all winter about baseball, there are trades during the winter. But when you have situations like, now here's a town, Chicago, the White Sox fans got very much attached to Zisk last year. He's a popular player, Gamble. Now they pack up and leave and they're gone and you're 1,000 miles away. And, you know, if this keeps happening every year to every team, now that it's not going to reach that danger point, obviously. But I just wonder about whether the fans will be turned off by the fact that, you know, well, let's not get too close to this guy because he won't be here next year. Mm-hmm. And I think that, I think that winning brings fans, but I also think that fans like to hang their hat and say, well, we got this ball player on this team who we really like and who we're going to go out to see. Well, if they think he's going to be gone next week, will they go out to see him?
Well, why in this business of, the accepted rules of procedure in baseball, do the players seem to have all the best of it?
They do.
Well, of course, a lot has evolved through Marvin Miller and a very strong Players Association, and they've won some tremendous concessions from the owners. I think, again, that soon the players will look around and see that maybe the jobs are dwindling. Maybe the number of baseball teams will drop. And if a team goes under, if the Atlanta Braves draw $400,000 and Turner says, I can't take it anymore, and nobody wants to buy the club and they go under, well, that's 30 jobs right there. And that will be it'll be the shock factor, and you say that there's no limit you can draw. I think that it will be self-limiting in the long run.
San Francisco is not in an enviable position. Minnesota, Calvin Griffith is screaming his head off.
Sure, and look at the A's. The years they won, they were still playing before all those empty seats. It's a touchy situation, and I don't agree with everything the commissioner says, but he came out last week and said he is very concerned about some of the trends in the game, that the rich might be getting richer, and that if the Yankees just continue to load up and win the division by 20 games, well, who's going to be interested?
With the stand that the commissioner seems to take on just about every move that Charlie Finley makes, I wonder why he permitted the New York Yankees to actually go out and obviously buy a ball club, buy a pennant.
It's a very interesting point, Bob, and I think that if the commissioner tries to move into the latest deal, the Vita Blue to Cincinnati, that he's going to step in too deep. He better lay off of that, I think, because I think he could be in trouble if he tries to interfere with that sale.
I think you're absolutely right. The Cincinnati Ball Club is a great club, and they got some powerful people back of it. And I just don't think they'd hold still for that. They need pitching badly, and the addition of Vita Blue will put them right up there.
And if Kuhn goes in there, it's going to bear all the marks of a vendetta with Finley, which a lot of people think he has anyway.
What about the Cubs and the Sox? Now, you're going to be with the White Sox first. How are they going to be?
I really don't. You know, I couldn't gauge them last year, and I thought they'd be a pretty mediocre to poor club last year, and they were thrilling.
Yeah. Everybody said they looked so badly down in Sarasota, Florida, and still they seemed to put everything together when they got up here.
They sure did, and now who's to say that Bonds won't be every bit as good as Zisk or Gamble? I think that they did give up two pretty good young pitchers in Knapp and Frost, but I really don't know. It's very difficult to gauge how they'll be, Bob, because they have made significant changes. They've lost their two best hitters, and they've tried to replace them with one who's a good ballplayer, Bonds.
He certainly is a good ballplayer. You wonder why California has made some strange moves that they've made.
You know, it's funny. The California papers really vilified Bavese when they made that deal. You know, trading Bobby Bonds for Chris Who and Dave Who, and so he really got burned on that deal. On the other hand, I think he has acquired a couple pitchers who will go well in that rotation with Ryan and Tanana and Brett. I think they'll have a good team.
I think one of the things out there is that I think Autry gets himself mixed up in this thing, and I think Dalton tried to please him, and I think Bavese is trying to please him with a lot of action. But in trading Bobby Bonds, they traded his favorite ballplayer.
Well, the Cowboys got all those saddlebags full of loot, and he wants a winner, and he's probably just going to keep spending until he does. And let's face it, they're making strides. I think they'll be a contender. Texas, with Corbett spending, is going to be a great contender. Kansas City is still strong. I think that the White Sox,
what about Milwaukee?
Have dropped a notch. Milwaukee, I still don't see.
They don't seem to have any pitching.
No, they don't. They have to get some pitching.
They paid all that money for an outfielder, and they don't have any pitching.
No, they have to get a few arms up there, Bob.
Our guest today is Bob Verde, outstanding sports writer with the Chicago Tribune, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. And ready to offer savers the kind of services you can get with the Northwest card. A special feature available to savers who maintain a $500 balance. Here's what you get. Traveler's checks, special occasion checks, registered checks, all with no service charge. Need document photocopies or lamination? It's free with the Northwest card. There's a special quick check cashing ID card with your picture. Even special vacations for Northwest card members. So get a world of the services you need often by getting a Northwest card at any of six convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland, including the new downtown location right here at 72 East Randolph. It's so convenient. Be part of a special group and be a special person at Northwest Federal anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. Back to our guest, Bob Burdy of the Chicago Tribune Sports Staff. Bob, what is the addition of Kingman going to do for the Cubs?
Put a lot of people in the seats, I think. You know, he's going to be the kind of guy that he could strike out four times and be exciting. You know, it'd be breathtaking to just watch him swing. I think if he finds a home, I think he's smart to come here first, you know, for his own sake.
He's a local boy, actually.
Yeah, and this is his kind of ballpark, Wrigley Field. I think if he gets his head together, establishes a home here, and becomes happy for maybe the first time in his career, that he could be a, you know, who's to say how many he can hit? That depends on the wind. Maybe it won't. The wind could be blowing in, and he could still hit a few out. But I think he'll be very exciting.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a ball land on one of those three-story apartment buildings over there behind left field, would you?
Well, he hit one day, I forget if it was last year or 2 years ago, that it was just incredible. You just watched it and watched it and watched it, and you said no human can hit a ball that far, and then this big guy trotting around the bases like nothing happened.
Well, as you say, it's going to bring some excitement to Wrigley Field, and I'd really like to see them do well up there.
I would, too. You know, gee, the fans here have suffered for so long. Last year they teased him by, they were 46-20 at one point, and then they really died in the second half of the year. But if they can stay healthy, particularly men like Suter, and get a little pitching, I don't know if that Woody Fryman is going to be much in Wrigley Field. I would question that. But they need pitching, and I think that they'll be an exciting club.
Now, Bonham went to Cincinnati, right?
Yes, for Fryman. Bonham was probably going to leave anyway, so they got what they could get, and I just don't think Fryman has it anymore.
No. Reichel is really a great pitcher, and he should have some great years ahead of him.
He is, and he's a fine competitor. Burris, I think, will be a good pitcher before it's all over. After that, they have Suter and a few question marks, but I think that they'll profit by the added incentive of knowing that Kingman, you know, the Cubs didn't score a lot of runs last year. They weren't a powerful club. They were a good contact team. Now, you know, with Kingman up there and a few men on base, they're going to possibly be in any ball game.
I hear the annual baseball writers' dinner is going to be a great affair.
It will be. It will be, and I hope everybody who is free that night in January can attend.
I'm certainly looking forward to it. Thank you, Bob, very much for being with us and for your interesting comments.
Thank you, and Happy New Year, Commander.
And same to you, and good fortune to you and your great newspaper, the Chicago Tribune. Well, have a nice day. Remember, a lot of football today. Monday's a holiday, a lot of football tomorrow. And now this is Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.